The Vatican and the World Council of Churches on Friday concluded a three-day meeting exploring ways of combating xenophobia that is often provoked and exploited by populist policies. A recent UNHCR report spoke of responses to the global migration and refugee crisis as marked by toxic fear, rooted in xenophobia and encouraged by populist politics. The Rome meeting was jointly hosted by the WCC and the Vatican's Office for Integral Human Development, in collaboration with the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. Among its goals was the planning of a world conference on these issues to be held from May the 21st to 24th next year. Among the key speakers at this week's meeting was the General Secretary of the WCC, Reverend Olaf Fixit-Veit, who talked to me about its aims and its achievements.
This has been a very useful and significant workshop to dig a bit deeper in these issues of xenophobia as an expression of populism, but also how it connects to racism and other expressions of hostility, division, even conflict and violence. So we have had different ways to analyze it, realizing that populism is not necessarily related to xenophobia. There can also be other popular movements that are very democratic movements and have a very significant role in the development of the people's constructive contribution. But we have seen in many parts of the world and also in Europe populism that has expressed itself in this hostility. We have heard from the United States how it expressed itself in racism, in new forms, but the old problem. But we also hear that this is a reality in many parts of the world. It has to do with migration, but it has to do with other issues as well. For example, the economic developments, the many that feel that they have lost, not only the United States, who have lost the middle class, that have lost their relative wealth and economic strength, but many places in the world, people feel that changes like migration add to the fear they have already from the sense of losing jobs, economic development, and so on. So it's a phenomenon within a complex reality.
This is a problem that the churches have been dealing with since the beginning of time, almost, the problems of racism and fear of the stranger. And yet you're saying that it's a much more serious problem today because of the migration crisis and the economic problems that people are facing today.
I think we have seen that it is very important to not hang it only on migration, because migration has many reasons, and some of them is about wars and people who need to find refuge and asylum, and it has to do about their rights. There are other reasons for migration, but it's important not to make the migrants the scapegoat for everything that creates the problems of the world today. But some of the migration is a symptom of other problems. Secondly, it is also important that we realize that we have done a lot, as you say, during the ages, to develop Christian values and Christian attitudes to the other, and particularly also to the stranger, to the other who is coming from another culture, from another place, but who need also to find a home where we are. Actually, it's quite fascinating to be in Rome discussing this, because St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome was actually to deal with how can we be one in the church when we are so different, when we come from so different cultures and part of the known world, and also have different religions. So, I mean, it's a very old question, but it's also a very Christian question in the sense, what does it mean that we are called to be an expression of the one humanity God has created? And how can the church be a sign of that and promote it in a way that where we not only see differences as a problem, but also as an opportunity.
Many Christian leaders have been speaking out very clearly on this, yourself included, Pope Francis and many others, and yet it seems somehow that the angry tweets of a president or the, as you say, populist policies in parts of Europe have a much louder voice than anything that's coming from the churches at the moment.
Maybe that's right. Maybe you also see that there is a very strong mobilization in the local churches to really work on what are our attitudes and also what are our behavior. In practice, how do we relate to the new neighbor? How do we relate to the new classmate in school? And I'm also quite impressed on how, I would say, churches and the people of the churches, the grassroots, the members in the congregations, have taken these challenges in so many places of the world and been able to respond to it without the world media focusing on it. So much more is happening than what we hear about. In addition to that, we have discussed, well, how do we develop both a message that take into account also the complexity and the fear of people. I mean, we cannot ignore that this also creates fear, but try to address it both from being realistic, but also being Christian in the sense of trying to apply what we believe we are called to do as Christians in a way that encourage people to another behavior, another approach, another attitude. And therefore, we need to work on the analysis more, but also on the message and the strategy, how we share the message. And that is why we want to have another world conference in May, to follow up the work now and to implement it and launch it.
Part of the strategy, I presume, is working much more closely together between the different churches. You're here working with Vatican officials and others. What do you see as the most important steps to be taken here?
Well, definitely that we work together, strengthen already our capacity to do something and to change something. Secondly, we learn from one another's experiences. And, for example, the Roman Catholic Church is a universal church. It knows what it is both to live in a country where people live and in a country where people come, the receiving countries. We know more about that also in the Protestant churches as we are more and more connected, for example, through the World Council of Churches and general information of today. But it's really important to share our different experiences, but also our different ways of dealing with this. As a Lutheran and a European and a Norwegian, I come from a context where the church and the state have had a very close relationship, for good and for bad. And now we are officially dividing this relationship. But it doesn't mean that the church and the state should not cooperate to try to solve the problems of the time. And that is what we also have discussed. What kind of models of cooperation can we find that really promote this responsibility as a civil action with all people of goodwill, not only Christians?
So you're looking ahead to a world conference in May. What do you hope will be the outcome of that meeting?
I think there will be an opportunity for us to say that we as churches are very rooted in reality. We are not just making slogans and statements. We know the problems of those who have to find a new home for any reasons, but we know also the challenges for those who receive them, but we know also a lot about the capacities of human beings to find new ways of living together, and we know a lot about values that can inspire us to do so. And we think bringing a message forward that sounds very clearly realistic, but also very clearly constructive, is a very important outcome. Secondly, to discuss a strategy of how we share this message and how we implement it in practice, not only speaking, but doing it, and therefore launching also a strategy together. I hope that will be the outcome of the conference in May.
My thanks to the World Council of Churches General Secretary, Reverend Dr. Olaf Fixit-Veit. I'm Philippa Hitchin.